We're starting chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, called the Chamber of Secrets. All those times we were in that toilet, and then in that bathroom, and she was just three toilets away, said Ron bitterly at breakfast the next day. We could have asked her, and now... It had been hard trying to look for spiders, escaping their teachers long enough to sneak into a girl's bathroom. The girl's bathroom, moreover, right next to the scene of the first attack, was going to be almost impossible. But something happened in their first lesson, Transfiguration, that drove the Chamber of Secrets out of their mind for the first time in weeks. 10 minutes into the class, Professor McGonagall told them their exams would start on the 1st of June, 1 week from today. "Exams?" howled Seamus Finnegan. "We're still getting exams?" There was a loud bang behind Harry as Neville Longbottom's wand slipped, vanishing one of the legs on his desk. Professor McGonagall restored it with a wave of her own wand and turned, frowning, to Seamus. "The whole point of keeping school open at this time is for you to receive your education," she said sternly. "The exams will therefore take place as usual, and I trust you are all studying hard." Studying hard, it had never occurred to Harry that there would be exams with the castle in this state. There was a great deal of mutinous muttering around the room, which made Professor McGonagall scowl even more darkly. "Professor Dumbledore's instructions were to keep the school running as normally as possible," she said. "And that, I need hardly point out, means finding out how much you have learned this year." Harry looked down at the pair of white rabbits he was supposed to be turning into slippers. What had he learned so far this year? He couldn't seem to think of anything that would be useful in an exam. Ron looked as though he'd just had to go live in the Forbidden Forest. "Can you imagine me taking exams with this?" he asked Harry, holding up his wand, which had just started whistling wildly. "Why hasn't Ron gotten a new wand? Like, surely Harry can afford a new wand for Ron. And also, like, probably the school has some wands that, like, what's the point of him going to school if he doesn't have a wand?" Anyways. 3 days before their first exam, Professor McGonagall made another announcement at breakfast. "I have good news," she said, and the great hall, instead of falling silent, erupted. "Dumbledore is coming back," several people yelled joyfully. "You've caught the heir of Slytherin," squealed a girl at the Ravenclaw table. "Quidditch matches are back on," roared Wood excitedly. When the hubbub had subsided, Professor McGonagall said, "Professor Sprout has informed me that the mandrakes are ready for cutting at last. Tonight we'll be able to revive those people who have been petrified. I need hardly remind you all that one of them may well be able to tell us who or what attacked them. I'm hoping this dreadful year will end with our catching the culprit." There was an explosion of cheering. Harry looked over at the Slytherin table and wasn't surprised at all to see that Draco Malfoy hadn't joined in. Ron, however, was looking happier than he'd looked in days. "It won't matter that we never asked Myrtle, then," he said to Harry. "Hermione will probably have all the answers when we wake her up. Mind you, she'll go crazy when she finds out we've got exams in 3 days. She hasn't studied. It might be kinder to leave her where she is until they're over." Just then, Ginny Weasley came over and sat down next to Ron. She looked tense and nervous, and Harry noticed her hands were twisting in her lap. "What's up?" said Ron, helping himself to more porridge. Ginny didn't say anything, but glanced up and down the Gryffindor table with a scared look on her face that reminded Harry of someone, though he couldn't think who. "Spit it out," said Ron, watching her. Harry suddenly realized who Ginny looked like. She was rocking backward and forward slightly in her chair, exactly like Dobby did when he was teetering on the edge of revealing forbidden information. "I've got to tell you something," Ginny mumbled, carefully not looking at Harry. "What is it?" said Harry. Ginny looked as though she couldn't find the right words. "What?" said Ron. Ginny opened her mouth, but no sound came out. Harry leaned forward and spoke quietly so that only Ginny and Ron could hear him. "Is it something about the Chamber of Secrets? Have you seen something? Someone acting oddly?" Ginny drew a deep breath, and at the precise moment, Percy Weasley appeared, looking tired and wan. If you've finished eating, I'll take that seat, Ginny. I'm starving. I've only just come off patrol duty. Ginny jumped up as though her chair had been electrified, gave Percy a fleeting, frightened look, and scampered away. Percy sat down and grabbed a mug from the center of the table. "Percy," said Ron angrily, "she was just about to tell us something important." Halfway through a gulp of tea, Percy choked. "What sort of thing?" he asked, coughing. "I just asked her if she'd said anything odd, and she started to say..." "Oh, that's nothing to do with the Chamber of Secrets," said Percy at once. "How do you know?" said Ron, his eyebrows raised. "Well, if you must know, Ginny walked in on me the other day when I was... Well, never mind. The point is, she spotted me doing something that I am... And I am asked her to mention... not to mention it to anybody. I really must say, I did think she'd keep her word. It's nothing, really. I'd just rather..." Harry had never seen Percy look so uncomfortable. "What were you doing, Percy?" said Ron, grinning. "Go on, tell us. We won't laugh." Percy didn't smile back. "Pass me those rolls, Harry. I'm starving." Harry knew the whole mystery might be solved tomorrow without their help, but he wasn't about to pass up a chance to speak to Myrtle if it turned up. And to his delight, it did, mid-morning, when they were being led to History of Magic by Gilderoy Lockhart. Lockhart, who so often assured them that all danger had passed, only to be proved wrong right away, was now wholeheartedly convinced it was hardly worth the trouble to see them safely down the corridors. His hair wasn't as sleek as usual. It seemed he had been up most of the night, patrolling the fourth floor. "Mark my words," he said, ushering them around a corner. "The first words out of those poor petrified people's mouths will be, 'It was Hagrid.' Frankly, I'm astounded Professor McGonagall thinks all these security measures are necessary." "I agree, sir," said Harry, making Ron drop his books in surprise. "Thank you, Harry," said Lockhart graciously while they waited for a long line of Hufflepuffs to pass. "I mean, we teachers have been quite enough to be getting on without walking students to classes and standing guard all night." "That's right," said Ron, catching on. "Why don't you leave us here, sir? We've only got one more corridor to go." "You know, Weasley, I think I will," said Lockhart. "I really should go and prepare my next class." And he hurried off. "Prepare his class," Ron sneered after him. "Gone to curl his hair more like." They then let the rest of the Gryffindors draw off ahead of them, then darted down a side passage and hurried off toward Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. But just as they were congratulating each other on their brilliant scheme, "Potter, Weasley, what are you doing?" It was Professor McGonagall, and her mouth was the thinnest of thin lines. We were, Ron stammered. "We were going to see..." "Hermione," said Harry. Ron and Professor McGonagall both looked at him. "We haven't seen her for ages, Professor," Harry went on, hurriedly, treading on Ron's foot. "And we thought we'd sneak into the hospital wing, you know, and tell her the mandrakes are nearly ready and not to worry." Professor McGonagall was staring at him, and for a moment, Harry thought she was going to explode, but when she spoke, it was in a strangely croaky voice. "Of course," she said, and Harry, amazed, saw a tear glistening in her beady eye. "Of course I realize this has been hardest on the friends who have been... I quite understand. Yes, Potter, of course you may visit Miss Granger. I will inform Professor Binns where you've gone. Tell Madame Pomfrey I've given my permission." Harry and Ron walked away, hardly daring to believe they had avoided detention. As they turned the corner, they distinctly heard Professor McGonagall blow her nose. "That," said Ron fervently, "was the best story you've ever come up with." They had no choice now but to go to the hospital wing and tell Madame Pomfrey they had Professor McGonagall's permission to visit Hermione. Madame Pomfrey let them in, but reluctantly. She said, "There's no point in talking to a petrified person." But they had to admit she had a point, and they had to admit they had a point, that she had a point when they'd taken their seats next to Hermione. It was plain that Hermione didn't have the faintest inkling she had visitors, and that they might as well just tell her bedside cabinet not to worry for all the good it would do. "Wonder if she did see the attacker," said Ron, looking sadly at Hermione's rigid face. "Because if he sneaked up on them all, no one will ever know." But Harry wasn't looking at Hermione's face. He was more interested in her right hand. It lay clenched on top of her blankets, and bending closer, he saw that a piece of paper was scrunched inside her fist. Making sure that Madame Pomfrey was nowhere in sight, he pointed this out to Ron. "Try and get it out," whispered Ron, shifting his chair so that he blocked Harry from Madame Pomfrey's view. It was no easy task. Hermione's hand was clamped so tightly around the paper Harry was sure he was going to tear it. While Ron kept watch, he tugged and twisted, and after several tense minutes, the paper came free. It was a page torn from a very old library book. Harry smoothed it out eagerly, and Ron leaned close to read it. "Of the many fearsome beasts and monsters that roam our lands, there is none more curious or deadly than the basilisk, also known as the king of the serpents. This snake, which may reach gigantic size and live hundreds of years, is born from a chicken's egg hatched beneath a toad. Its methods of killing are most wondrous, for aside from the deadly and venomous fangs, the basilisk has a murderous stare, and all who are fixed with the beam of its eye may suffer instant death. Spiders flee before the basilisk, for it is their mortal enemy, and the basilisk flees only to the crowing of the rooster, which is fatal to it." And beneath this, a single word had been written in a hand Harry recognized as Hermione's. Pipes. It was as though someone had flicked a light on in his brain. "Ron, this is it, he breathed. "This is the answer. The monster in the chamber is a basilisk, a giant serpent. That's why I've been hearing that voice all over the place and no one else has heard it. It's because I understand Parseltongue." Harry looked up at the bed around him. "The basilisk kills people by looking at them, but no one's died, because no one saw it straight in the eye. Colin saw it through his camera. The basilisk just burned up the film inside it, but Colin got petrified. Justin must have seen the basilisk through nearly headless Nick. Nick got the full blast of it, but he couldn't die again. And Hermione and the Ravenclaw prefect were found with a mirror next to them. Hermione had just realized the monster was a basilisk. I bet you anything she weren't the first person she met to look on corners with a mirror first. And that girl pulled out her mirror and..." Ron's jaw had dropped. "Mrs. Norris?" he whispered eagerly. Harry thought hard, picturing the scene on the night of the Halloween. "The water," he said slowly. "The flood from Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. I bet you Mrs. Norris only saw the reflection." He scanned the page in his hand eagerly. The more he looked at it, the more it made sense. The basilisk flees only from the crowing of the rooster, which is fatal to it. He read aloud. "Hagrid's roosters were killed. The heir of Slytherin didn't want anyone near the castle once the chamber was opened. Spiders flee before the basilisk. It all fits." "But how's the basilisk been getting around the place?" said Ron. "A giant snake? Someone would have seen." Harry, however, pointed at the word Hermione had scribbled on the foot of the page. "Pipes," he said. "Pipes, Ron. It's been using the plumbing. I've been hearing the voice inside the walls." Ron suddenly grabbed Harry's arm. "The entrance to the Chamber of Secrets," he said hoarsely. "What if it's a bathroom? What if it's in Moaning Myrtle's bathroom?" said Harry. They sat there, excitement coursing through them, hardly able to believe it. "This means," said Harry, "I can't be the only parcel moth in the school. The heir of Slytherin's one, too. That's how he's been controlling the basilisk." "What are we going to do?" said Ron, whose eyes were flashing. "Shall we go straight to McGonagall?" "Let's go to the staff room," said Harry, jumping up. "She'll be there in 10 minutes. It's nearly break." They ran downstairs. Not wanting to be discovered hanging around another corridor, they went straight into the deserted staff room. It was a large paneled room full of dark wooden chairs. Harry and Ron paced around it, too excited to sit down. But the bell to signal break never came. Instead, echoing through the corridors came Professor McGonagall's voice, magically magnified. "All students to return to their house dormitories at once. All teachers return to the staff room. Immediately, please." Harry wheeled around to stare at Ron. "Not another attack. Not now." "What do we do?" said Ron, aghast. "Go back to the dormitory?" "No," said Harry, glancing around. There was an ugly sort of wardrobe, but it was left full of the teacher's cloaks. "In here, let's hear what it's all about. Then we can tell them what we found out." They hid themselves inside it, listening to the rumbling of hundreds of people moving about overhead, and the staff room door banging open. From between the musty folds of the cloaks, they watched the teachers filtering around the room. Some of them were looking puzzled, others downright scared. Then Professor McGonagall arrived. "It happened," she told the silent staff room. "A student has been taken by the monster, right into the chamber itself." Professor Flitwick let out a squeal. Professor Sprout clapped her hands over her mouth. Snape gripped the back of the chair very hard and said, "How can you be sure?" "The heir of Slytherin," said Professor McGonagall, who was very white, "left another message right under the first one. Her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever." Professor Flitwick burst into tears. "Who is it?" said Madame Hooch, who had sunk weak-kneed into a chair. "Which student?" "Ginny Weasley," said Professor McGonagall. Harry felt Ron slide silently down onto the wardrobe floor beside him. "We shall have to send all the students home tomorrow," said Professor McGonagall. "This is the end of Hogwarts, Dumbledore always said." The staff room door banged open. For one wild moment, Harry was sure it would be Dumbledore. But it was Lockhart, and he was beaming. "Sorry, dozed off. What have I missed?" He didn't seem to notice that the other teachers were looking at him with something remarkably like hatred. Snape stepped forward. "Just the man," he said. "The very man. A girl has been snatched by the monster, Lockhart, taken into the Chamber of Secrets itself. Your moment has come at last." Lockhart blanched. "That's right, Gilderoy," chipped in Professor Sprout. "Weren't you saying last night that you've known all along where the entrance to the Chamber of Secrets is?"
I
sputtered Lockhart.
"Yes, didn't you tell me you were sure you knew what was inside it?" piped up Professor Flitwick.
"Did I? I don't recall."
"I certainly remember you saying you were sorry you hadn't had a crack at the monster before Hagrid was arrested," said Snape. "Didn't you say the whole affair had been bungled, that you should have been given free rein from the first?"
Lockhart stared around at his stony-faced colleagues.
I really never. You may have misunderstood."
"We'll leave you to it, then, Gilderoy," said Professor McGonagall. "Tonight will be an excellent time to do it. We'll make you sure everyone's out of your way. You'll be able to tackle the monster all by yourself. A free rein at last." Lockhart gazed desperately around him, but nobody came to the rescue. He didn't look remotely handsome anymore. His lip was trembling, and in the absence of his usual toothy grin, he looked weak-chinned and feeble.
"Very well," he said. "I'll be in my office getting ready."
And he left the room.
"Right," said Professor McGonagall, whose nostrils were flared. "Let's get him out from under our feet. The heads of houses should go and inform their students what happened. Tell them the Hogwarts Express will take them home first thing tomorrow. Will the rest of you please make sure no students have been out of their dormitories?"
The teachers rose and left, one by one. And I think we'll stop there. It's bedtime for the kitten. I love you, beautiful. Good night.